Well, this year marks 40 years since the Homosexual Law Reform Act. If you don't recall, back in the day, the Act amended a Crimes Act of 1961, which had previously imposed sentences of up to 14 years for consensual male homosexual acts. The bill narrowly passed its first reading at the House of Reps by 49 votes to 44. Joining us today is Professor Elizabeth Kitakete to mark the 40 years since the passing of the Act, a landmark piece of legislation that decriminalised consensual sexual activity between men and paved the way for the future LGBTQIA plus rights protections. It's an opportunity to reflect on both the progress made and the challenges that remain. Thank you for joining us on the program once again, Elizabeth. Tenakwe.
Oh, kia ora, lovely to be with you this morning.
Gee, when we're reminded of it and old enough now to remember it, those were pretty dark days. People were being set up to get snapped. I recall an infamous situation in a nightclub down in downtown Auckland. It was politically motivated as well. I think Muldoon was involved somehow in that, if I recall. But it was dark days. We're better now. But gee, it is right that 40 years on, we look back at what actually happened. What are some of the issues you think we should be reminded of as we note the 40th anniversary of the legislation, Elizabeth?
Well, let's see. I was a teenager back when this was happening. I was a little baby activist, and our rainbow leaders at the time mentored me around the work that we did, and we worked in coalition with lots of other groups. I was in Dunedin at the time, but around the country people were mobilising, and although the law at the time was very specific to gay men, a lot of the things that the societal pressures and prejudice applied to women as well. And I guess a key thing when we look back in those times is trans people were always there as well in organising, bisexual people were always there in organising, and intersex people were largely invisible. And so there's been a lot of memorials, there's been a lot of events over the years that go back to those times. It was a time of really strong collaboration, and so there were real strengths about how community worked, but there was, and so we can see a lot of change over time. Especially, I recall I still have a poster which listed all the churches who were against the bill, and you could see how things have changed over time, because when we did the conversion practices bill, when I was in Parliament, nearly all of the mainstream churches were in support of banning conversion practices. And so you can see there's been change. But then we've got a government at the moment putting a bill in place. It tries to undo all of the work that's been happening. So some things are much better, as you say, and then other things are, we're still fighting.
Tenakwe, Elizabeth, with the, as you mentioned, the government advancing legislation and policies centred on definitions of male and female sex, do you believe that our country is continuing to make progress on human rights and inclusion? Or are there areas where you see concerns about the direction of travel for rainbow and trans communities?
I think we're going backwards in lots of ways. I think we were one of the countries that the rest of the world looked to for being so progressive and putting things in place, right back to the homosexual law reform. And now we see it specifically for rainbow communities, the rampant transphobia that was brought in by New Zealand First, that Act has jumped in on, and Nationals basically gone along with in order to maintain their coalition, because they were certainly never that bad before. But in Kaupapa Māori as well, that impacts on takapāpui. And so those other things impact on our rights. The slashing of our house system impacts on rainbow takatāpui people being able to get access to the care that they need. And so I feel like we've gone backwards in many, many ways. But our people, we're still here. We're still surviving. We're still getting on with our lives, and we're all going to keep fighting.
Then, like, we often were drawn to the different approaches or perspectives from our people, First Nations and proud Indigenous people, and, of course, some imported political structures and attitudes. So do you sense that there is a difference in the way we see homosexuality, trans issues? And as we acknowledge 40 years since the passing of this bill, where do you think Māori perspectives sit in comparison to mainstream?
You know, we're not just a one-thinking kind of people. We absolutely embody all of the different viewpoints and perspectives on these kaupapa. But I feel like, along with the rest of the country, Māori have moved to recognising that whakatāpui are just part of who we are. It's another way of being Māori. And I think a lot of our people are appalled at what's going on. I think there are still Māori that don't understand the issues and the things that are happening to our people, unless they, you know, it's their moko and they see what happens, or it's their cousin and they understand or have had these conversations. I think some people, I think some of our Māori who are still in, for example, places like Destiny Church, are not only not understanding the issues, they've been given a lot of misinformation. And so they have worries and concerns, or even get angry based on things that are just not true at all.
Tēnā koe, we like to think of ourselves in many regards as world-leading politically. I'm curious to know where we sit in regard to this kaupapa. But what do you think still needs to happen, whether in law or education or healthcare or society more broadly, to ensure that the next generation of LGBTQIA, it's a lot of
I know.
can live safely. Rainbow communities probably covers off, doesn't it, as good as anything else, to ensure that the next generation of our rainbow communities can live safely and authentically.
In these things, there's never one simple answer. It's layers of things that need to happen. And within our whānau, it's basically accepting and loving all of your mokopuna, all of your children, no matter how they identify, and knowing that when our people are who they're meant to be is when we're the strongest. Inside our community, it's kind of being aware of the issues that are going on, making sure that when you're forming an opinion on something that you get information from a good place. It's putting the resources back into our health system and realising that what people need for their health, for their physical, mental health, actually doesn't affect anybody else. It's making sure that all of our young people grow old, that they're not feeling like dying by suicide is their only option. It's saying in education, in the justice system, that we're accepting of who people are. I think if we always go back to our core Māori values, because so many of our whānau are absolutely supportive and protective of our whakatāpui and rainbow whānau. And if we spread that around, the love that we give to our mokopuna, our tamariki, our queer kaumātua, then the fact that some of them are whakatāpui just gets wrapped up in that Māori staunchness, that Māori love, that Māori protection. And it's hard to change the system. But it's not too hard to remind our whānau what our job is, and that's just at its absolute heart is to look after our kids.
And that's really what's simple enough too. I mean, that's a simple message. Just look after each other, look after our kids. We're all going to be different. Don't fear diversity. Mm. In fact, we should be celebrating it. Just out of curiosity, follow me through on this. So I know the LGB, which is lesbian, gay, and bi. T would be trans, yeah. Q is?
Yes. Q is queer.
I is?
Intersex.
And A?
People sometimes use it to mean asexual, aromantic people. who are not attracted to anybody. And then sometimes people use it to, they'll refer to allies.
Okay.
But usually in the acronym, it's usually about asexual people.
I'm not taking the mickey. I'm just so you know, LGBTQIA, and there's a plus at the back too, which leaves room for everybody else. Yeah.
Well, exactly. We've got all our Pacific identities. We've got identities from migrant people who've come and settled in our country, and they've got their own language and their own terms. So yeah, like Takatāpui, it's so much bigger than just sometimes the Western identity terms. So it's why I use rainbow and Takatāpui. It's like, it's just, we're all the things. We are all the colours.
All the colours of the rainbow. Too cool, hey? Nice catching up with you again, Elizabeth. What's keeping you busy?
Oh, I'm working for our iwi here at home in Gisborne for Te Runanga o Te Ranganui Akiwa, and I'm the kaiduruku at Te Ora. We're developing an iwi-led model for family harm and sexual violence. And so it's exciting, mahi, but, you know, things going on for our whānau, we just need to, there's a lot of work to be done. And again, I always believe we bring our Māori values to this. We bring our heart, our compassion, and generations of knowledge, then we'll get the work done.
Tēnā koe. Nice catching up with you, Elizabeth. Tēnā koe. And is Waipuropuro still your colour?
You know it.
You better believe it. You fly that purple flag. Lovely to catch up with you, Elizabeth. Thanks very much again. Ngā mihi, all the best with the mahi. Thank you.
Ngā mihi.
That's Professor Elizabeth Kerekere. You may recall, former politician, but now I sense pretty happy to be out of that headstrong mix.